us to allow us to rest through the night, be able to sustain us and bless us with an opportunity this side of eternity to assemble together and worship Him in spirit and truth. It's good to see each and every one of you, especially those that are visiting with us. We love to have visitors with us, and we thank you for coming. We hope that you come over and over and over again. We sing about heaven often, don't we? This book has several hymns that are listed in the back of it that talk about heaven that we sing. The book or the song, Heaven Holds All to Me. The song, Heaven, the Place I Long to Be. You long to go to heaven? We sing, Heaven will surely be worth it all. Do you believe that heaven will be worth it all? Or we sing the song, Heavenly Sunlight. How beautiful heaven must be. And there may be others that are in this book that talk about heaven. Hopefully each of us long to go to heaven. When the church was established, we read in Acts chapter 2, I don't know the exact year, maybe around AD 33 or so. We know that soon after that the church began to be persecuted. That the religious leaders set out to persecute God's people. We read about that in Acts chapter 3 beginning. In Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 5, the apostles were threatened, imprisoned, beaten, and so forth and so on. Wasn't long after that till the civil government began to stretch forth its hands to persecute God's people with, beginning in Acts chapter 12 and in verse 1. But yet God has expected His people to be faithful. Throughout the ages of time, we know that when we're faithful to God, there's going to be persecution and opposition that will come our way. Paul would say that, yea, that those who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Peter would write, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. In Matthew 5, when the Lord was giving the Sermon on the Mount, He would state in that passage, blessed are you when men shall persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I don't know how long it was after the church was established until the Apostle Paul, who before was Saul, we've studied about him, and he persecuted God's people and then was converted to Christianity and began to preach about Jesus Christ. And I don't know how long it was that Paul would go to the city of Ephesus. We know that Paul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 14 was separated to what we refer to as missionary journeys and would go forth and proclaim the gospel of Christ. In Acts 19, Paul went to the city of Ephesus and individuals obeyed the gospel of Christ. And later he would write, maybe around 60 A.D., he would write to them the book of Ephesians, to the Christians that were at Ephesus. And then some another 30 or 35 years after that, perhaps, John would pen the words that was just read in our hearing a moment ago from Revelation, the second chapter. Beginning with verse 1, he would write to those of Ephesus. So some time had went past, had went by. And he tells them again, verse 2, just to state these things again by way of emphasis, he said, I know the works, or thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. And has borne and has patience and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works or else I will come to thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place except thou repent. There's been a lot of, perhaps, debate about what is meant by first love in Ephesians or Revelation 2 and in verse 4. I suggest to you that those at Ephesus knew very well what the Lord was talking about when John penned these things to them. Whatever it may have been, be it their zealous attitude when they first obeyed the gospel or the things that they initially set out to do that they had fallen from, and all the specifics about that, they had left those things. They had left it, whatever it might have been. You study that and reach a conclusion based on what the Bible says about that. But the Lord is sending this to them, and He's saying, verse 5, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come to thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." I want to set before your minds this morning that individuals can fall from a right relationship from God or with God. We see that through the Scriptures. We've done lessons along those lines to show that point. Congregations can fall from a right relationship before the Lord. We see that in the letter to Ephesus and others that you read about in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Remember from whence thou art fallen. Ask you this morning, at the beginning of the lesson, do you want to go to heaven when life is over? How would you respond to that? You don't have to out loud, but I want you to think about that. I venture to say, if I were to begin with myself and go all the way around the room, that every person who is old enough to be capable of giving an answer would say, "I want to go to heaven," right? That's where we long to be when this life is over. Hopefully we all do. That's what we strive to, live our lives in harmony with the will of God so that heaven will be our home in the great after while. But folks, if we don't do what the Bible instructs us to do, the reality is that heaven will not be our home, beginning with me all the way around the room. So I want us to think about some reasons this morning as to why churches fall away. Have you considered that before? I want to give you 10 of them. 10 reasons why, at least, and you could add to the list, of why congregations of the Lord's people fall away. I ask you that are older, can you remember congregations that used to meet that are no longer meeting? Can you? Can you think of congregations who used to be walking a straight line before the Lord, but they've departed either to the left or the right and are no longer faithful in service to God? I've preached at congregations. Today, if you go to those buildings, they're vacant, have been for a number of years. You think that can happen to the saints at Mill Street? We just read and studied about Obadiah in the Old Testament, a message given to the Edomites who had thought that perhaps they could not fall. Israel, Judah, perhaps thought that they could not fall. Individual kings thought perhaps they could not fall. But they did. I presented a lesson to you in time past. The fall of Saul. King Saul. The things we read that fell upon individuals in the Bible can very well happen to us if we don't take notice and watch. Right? And so we do ourselves a favor when we study these things and we think about these things. And so let's think about some reasons why congregations fall away. It happened to Ephesus. It can happen today. And lest it happen to us, let's think about these things. And the first one I want you to think about is congregations fall away when the Word of God is not taught. There's a lot of teaching today. There's a lot of doctrine today. Doctrine, by the way, just simply means teaching. But we're concerned in the doctrine of Christ, right? That's what you want taught. You didn't come here to listen to my opinion, did you? I don't think so. I hope not. So I'm not going to give it to you. It amounts to nothing at all. What I think relative to spiritual matters, it's what the Bible teaches. Congregations fall away when the Word of God is not taught. We have a divine mission to teach the Word of God. Come with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. Those of whom, again, Paul wrote to, and then would later, John would later write to them. Of course, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the message given from Christ. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, he says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known, now watch this, might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. He talks about mystery in the context of this, beginning with verse 2. Verse 3. How that the Gentiles shall be fellow heirs unto the same body. That is, that the Jew and Gentile will be reconciled to God in one body, the church. And Paul says that that is to be made known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. We've got to be busy about sowing the seed of the kingdom. Remember that parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13? Matthew 13 is a chapter that is filled with parables. The sower went forth to sow. Some of the seed fell by the wayside. Some fell among the thorns, and some fell among stony ground, and then some fell among good soil. In Luke 8, 11, the seed is identified as being the Word of God. If this church is going to endure and last and be acceptable in the sight of God, we have got to continue to plant the good seed of the kingdom, to preach the gospel of Christ and nothing else. It was just brought up in a recent lesson from Galatians chapter 1, maybe Wednesday night. Galatians chapter 1, how Paul had stated that he marveled that there were those that had been so soon removed from him who had called them in the grace of Christ into another gospel, which he says is not another. But some people were evidently busy about trying to pervert the gospel of Christ, and individuals were turning away unto those things. But God's Word is so sure that he says, though an angel come from heaven and preach any other gospel, let it be accursed. Think about that. Are you interested in hearing book, chapter, and verse at this congregation? I hope you are. I think the majority of you are concerned and appreciate that fundamental principle of demanding nothing more, nothing less than what saith the Scriptures, right? If we don't, in time to come, this congregation will fall. Though the doors may continue to be open, will not be acceptable in the sight of the Lord. But I want to suggest another one to you. Kind of goes along with that, and that is that congregations fall when the work is not done. You believe there's work to be done here? A preacher friend of mine had given me some advice, and I want to share it with you. He talked about those old Victrola record players. Many of you have seen those. I'm not going to say that any of you are old enough to have actually used them. I don't know. I'm not going to say that. But you've seen them. You've got to crank it up, right? Before to play. Then you know what happens if you stop cranking? Eventually, what stops happening? The record stops playing, right? There needs to be some people who are willing to crank and to do the work of the Lord. That falls upon who? Every single one of us. I'll begin with myself, all the way around the room. There's not a person, one, that is exempt in the kingdom of God, in the body of Christ, that is exempt from doing the Lord's work. Yes, others may have the ability to do what I don't have the ability to do, and they may be able to do it even better than what I'd be able to do. That's okay. But my responsibility is to do the Lord's work with the ability that God gives me, 1 Peter chapter 4. And then verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it with the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified. And so we've got to do the work that God would have us to do. Three areas that the work of the church falls under. If I were to stop here and go around the room asking, could you identify those three areas? First of all, when it comes to teaching and preaching the Word of God, that's our responsibility. We just noticed that from Ephesians 3. In Matthew 28, 18, Jesus said, all power is given unto me. Go ye therefore, our marching orders. Remember, we talked in the Bible class about Jonah having his marching orders. The prophets having their marching orders. Here's our marching orders. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world or the age. We've got to be busy about doing that. That's why we had Bible classes. That's why we're teaching this morning. That's why I'm standing before you this morning. That's why we have gospel meetings, avenues, opportunities for the saints to be edified and the gospel to be proclaimed to sinners, to the lost. That's why we do the work that we do, be it radio preaching or on the TV. You support that work. That's why we take up a collection. Nathan just talked about so that the work of the Lord can continue. You're supporting that work. These other things we look at. Edification. We are charged with the task to edify one another. Ephesians 4 and in verse 16 talks about building up, edifying. That's what the word edify means. To build up, to encourage. That can happen, by the way, as we sing to one another, sing praise to God, but we hear one another sing. Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 16 talks about teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Then the work of limited benevolence. It's limited in its scope to those that are among God's people. Every example, by the way, that you look at in benevolence of the New Testament, when the church gave, it was saints given to saints. Individually, I have opportunity to do good unto all those that I have opportunity to do good. Galatians 6 and in verse 10, that's written to the individual. We have that responsibility. But also, when you think about those things, we've got the responsibility to make sure that others are equipped to be able to do that work. That's what Paul wrote to Timothy about in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 2. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Congregations fall away when we don't do these things. A failure to equip people on how to proclaim God's Word assures that this congregation will not stand. You agree with that? We on the same page with that? As you think about reasons why congregations fall away, I want you to consider the fact when repentance is not practiced. When repentance is not practiced, do you believe that God expects His people to repent of wrongdoing? We talk about that at the close of every service or message. Nearly. We look at passages like Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. I tell you, nay, except ye repent, you shall likewise perish. It's also repeated in Luke 13:5. Acts 17:30, God once winked at this ignorance, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath foreordained, and that he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Repent and be converted. Acts 3:19. Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. When you look again at Revelation chapters 2 and 3, these congregations were told to repent, right? Straighten things up. Do what's right, or else I will come to thee quickly, remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. Do we have anything that needs to be repented of individually? As a whole, if we do, we better get to doing it. And all these things begin with the preacher. I'll start with myself and go around the room. In 2 Peter chapter 2, remember that proverb that was given to those that had did what was right but had turned and gotten themselves entangled again with the world. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning, for it had been better for them to not have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. You read verse 23 and see how they were described, or verse 22 rather. That proverb he talked about in that verse. And so congregations fall when repentance is not practiced. Sometimes we've got to get ourselves out of the way. It's not always about me. It's not always about you. Pride hath filled thine heart. Does that sound familiar? Remember Belshazzar in the book of Daniel we talked about when we talked about the book of Daniel? The writing on the wall and so forth. They are weighed in the balances and are found wanting. Lifted your heart up in pride, though he knew what had happened with his father. Congregations fall when members fail to repent. I want to suggest to you that congregations fall away when the children are not taught. Yes, it's fine to have a Bible class. It's fine to teach the children while you have opportunity to teach them. But if we don't do our individual responsibility, congregations will fall. You don't have to give an answer to me concerning whether or not your children are being taught. I don't have to give an answer to you concerning that. Ultimately, we give an account to God concerning that. I say that to point out that it's individual responsibility to do that. Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7, Ephesians 6, and in verse 4, those references talk about that. Proverbs 22, 6, train up a child in the way that he shall go, and when he's old he will not depart from that. 2 Timothy 1, 5 talks about the faith that dwelt first in Timothy's mother and his grandmother. We recently talked about those things. We've got to do that. Spend time doing that. I know people are busy. I can relate to being busy. I'll suggest that to you. But whatever it may be, as you're riding in the car, find something to by way of what, teaching a lesson. Sitting down and taking the time to look in a workbook, that's fine if workbooks are your appeal, your taste. Our appeal is the Scriptures. Make some flashcards, whatever it is, teach your children. Teach them by example. If we don't, the world is going to teach them. And we're not going to like what the world teaches, are we? Teach our children while we have opportunity to do that. If not, this congregation will fall. You look around now, and I suggest to you we're all getting older. If this congregation is going to continue, those young people that are among us are going to be the ones that are going to continue the work.
Amen.
How strong will it be? If you were to base it on the teaching that is going on now, how strong is it? Do we know what's being taught in Bible classes today? We need to know that and get a handle on it and know what our young people are being taught. But not only that, I want to suggest to you from 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 18 that congregations fall away when members don't grow as they should. You know what will happen to a little baby if you don't feed it? I'm sure you know, right? Many of you have been parents. You don't just bring a child home from the hospital and expect it to fend for itself, do you? You take time with great care to feed that baby. Getting up through the hours of the night, staying up with them, feeding them, being particular about what they eat and so forth, making sure they get what they need. You know what our spiritual diet is as God's people? This book. 1 Peter 2, 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may, what? Grow thereby. If so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. We can stunt our growth. Some of the Hebrew people, those to whom the Hebrew writer penned, had stunted their growth for when the time you ought to be teachers. Hebrews 4. You have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles. They still needed the milk when they ought to have been on the meat. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12, 13, and 14. We're almost to the close of this year. How much study have we done? We've stuffed Bible classes with a lot of information from the Word of God, haven't we, this year? We'll be close to 2,500 questions by the end of this year on the Old Testament alone. Those of you that are following with you, we start at about 30 of those, and then we didn't need 30 copies, and it dropped down to 20, and I think we're down to 15 copies, and there's still some in the back each week. But those that have stuck with that, you know how much time you've put into that. Well over 1,000 in the New Testament, the Bible classes, just on and on and on. You need to avail yourself of every opportunity to learn the Word of God. Come to every single service that you can possibly humanly be at. Avail yourselves of those opportunities. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Hebrews 4 verse 6. You know who was prosperous in Psalm 1? Who is described as a man who would be a tree planted by the rivers of water. His leaves would never wither, and whatsoever he doeth would prosper. The man who would meditate in the law of the Lord both day and night. That's what the Bible says, Psalm 1. And so congregations fall away when the members don't grow as they should. It's been said that a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And a congregation is only as strong as its weakest member. If that be the case, how strong is this congregation? Not only that, when you think about those things, when members live as the world lives, you think people in this community are taking note as to how we live our lives? In Romans 6, he talks about that, about the way that we live our life. Makes that contrast. We've spent time in that chapter. Talks about neither yielding yourselves as members of instruments of unrighteousness. Verse 13. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Talks about the way that we are to live our lives. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, not on things of the earth. The world ought to see a difference in the way that I live my life after I've obeyed the gospel of Christ and the way that I used to be. Maybe I've had to change some places that I used to go to. I don't go to them anymore. Maybe I don't do some things that I used to do. Don't behave the way that I used to behave. Don't say some things that I used to say. Don't laugh any longer to some jokes that I used to perhaps laugh at, laugh with, or tell. And the list just goes on and on. Present our bodies as a living sacrifice unto God, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 talks about. By the way, the doing always precedes the teaching. That was the way with the Lord. Acts 1, verse 1 points that out. We talked about the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Sometimes we get that order reversed around. We want to teach before we do. We ought not do that. Practice what we preach, 1 Corinthians 9:27. Paul talked about. Also, as you think about reasons why congregations fall away, that'd do us no good at all to think about all the congregations in this county or around the world or what have you. I'm talking about us. Why congregations fall away? They fall away when members don't care as they should. We've got a problem many times with members not caring as they should. And that can be evident in a lot of different ways. In Hebrews 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. No. One way you can tell if a member cares when the members show up. You agree with that? I know we try to preface that by saying that it's not always possible, and I understand that. I agree with that. I have sick kids from time to time. That's why they're not here today. That happens. Sometimes you're in the hospital and your mind says yes, but your body says no. But when we can be here, we need to be here. If not, we have forsaken the assembling and willfully sinned before God. There's times that in gospel meetings, our visitors almost outnumber the members. I took notice of that. Have you? And heard people visiting saying, where were your members at? I don't know. That tells whether we care or not. Not just on Sunday morning. I'm glad you're here, and I'm thankful you're here, and I'm thankful to be with you. But we need to be here tonight as well. We need to be here Wednesday night. We need to impress that upon one another and encourage one another to that good work. And so the work will fall away when members don't care as they should. 1 John chapter 3, 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and lust of the eyes shall fall away. A lot of other references talk about that. I want to give you another one from Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Congregations fall away when the word, the truth, is compromised. We've already talked about preaching the word. Paul said to those elders of Ephesus when he was at Miletus and called them unto him and began to talk to them. He said, I'm pure from the blood of all men. Remember that? I take you to record that I'm pure from the blood of all men. How was Paul pure from the blood of all men? Because he had not shunned to declare unto them the whole counsel of God. I don't want to have the blood of men on my hands. Do you? So we've got to not compromise the Word of God. Too many congregations compromise. They try to meet in the middle. They stand in the middle of the road. You know what will happen if you stand in the middle of the road? You get hit both ways, coming and going. So don't do that. That won't work. Don't compromise. Yes, we can be long-suffering, merciful, gentle, but don't compromise. You take what the Bible says and stand on it, regardless, even if you are the only one. But not only that, two more points I want to share with you. When there is a desire to be like other people, how many times, if it happens, do we base what we do based upon what other congregations are doing? Other churches are doing. Remember the fall of Israel, 1 Samuel 8 and in verse 5? Give us a king that we may be like all the other kings or so forth. The attitude of Israel, right? There's too much of the everyone else is doing it, and so we want to do it as well. What everyone else is doing is not our authority. You agree with that? Doesn't matter what everyone else is doing. What matters is what we're doing. Or the attitude of it seems to me, 2 Kings 5 with Naaman. Proverbs 14:12 says that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So just because it seems like the right thing to be doing doesn't make it so. So we don't need to have that attitude. So don't have the desire to be like everyone else. Last point. As you think about 10 reasons why congregations fall away, I want to suggest to you that we fall away when we lose our focus. That's tough in a busy society. When there's so many things going on and competing and vying for our time and our attention and our resources. But we'll fall away from a right relationship with the Lord when we lose our focus. I began this lesson talking about the hymns that we sing concerning heaven. That's what our focus needs to be. Hebrews 11:16 and other passages talk about the need to remain focused. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Philippians 3:13-14. 1 Peter 1:4 talks about that reward that is reserved in heaven. Fadeth not away. Reserved in heaven for us. That ought to be our focus. Do you want this congregation to be strong? There's work to be done. There's prayers to be offered. Work to be done for each and every one of us. I say these things to gently point out to us that if we want to go to heaven, we've got to do these things and be strong. You don't want to be weak, do you? Don't want to be a part of a weak congregation, but a strong one.